twice. Good afternoon, everybody. You're now live on blogtalkradio.com. This is the Middleman Radio with the Middleman Talk Show. This is your boy, Al.
And this is Jen.
Hey, I think it's just us. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's going good. You know, getting ready for virtual school, kids getting ready to go back, but one's going to be working at home for me, so I'm going to have an at-work home partner, so that's going to be interesting.
All right, so I guess you got all your, you know, his side of the room decorated, you know, to make it look like it's a classroom for him, to make him ready for this virtual learning. Like, is he excited?
Yeah, he's got a desk, computer, he's all set up, he's got his little office ready, so he's ready, I'm ready, so we're ready to go.
Hey, man.
And shout out to everybody that's having, like, that do virtual school. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, it's not going to be like a cakewalk. We had an orientation last week. It's going to be hard,
right.
But I know, you know, whether you made the decision to go back to school or to, you know, do virtual school or to do a hybrid, you know, this year is going to be difficult. So prayers and, you know, just strength to every parent out there who is going to be, and teachers as well, and school staff that's going to be faced with that decision this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a change, but I think it's going to be something good, which we could, you know, build on. You know, I always try to find the positives out of everything. At least, you know, families can spend more time together, you know, growing together. Also, too, this could possibly give, you know, parents a little bit more understanding of what, you know, the kids are learning at the school, because I'm pretty sure you all would be tuning in virtually as well just to listen to see what a typical day would look like. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits to it, and, you know, I feel like, you know, we've mastered the old way of doing things. So now, I mean, this is something else that we can master, you know, as a people, that we can teach anywhere and teach any child anywhere. So we got to move forward, man. We got to move forward. So,
What about Kamala Harris?
Yeah.
I know we've been buzzing all week about it. I know we haven't spoke about it. So what do you think, Al?
Look, I'm excited, man. I feel like, you know, I knew that, you know, Kamala was going to get, you know, selected as well. I just had a feeling that that was probably going to happen. But I do feel like we are trying to find a way to move our nation into a better place. You know, some people have made, you know, several remarks, you know, and, you know, like you have. So this is what I see, Jay. You know, I want to speak to this standpoint. So, of course, you have people who have their opinions about people in general, right? There's always going to be something that somebody is going to say about, you know, a person in a public figure, right? They're going to find something, some type of dirt. They're going to find something that people don't necessarily agree with. And you said, against them, and that's what I've been seeing all week. I mean, of course, we've seen throughout the whole presidential, you know, race with the Democratic, you know, race, you know, things came out there. But, like, I just feel like it's more of an attack instead of support, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, you know, I say this. I don't care if he picks a hippopotamus. Like, I'm going to vote for Biden. Like, anybody but 45.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I stand. That's where I'm at. anything has to be better than what we have right now. And I hope people, I truly understand people's apprehension with Kamala Harris. But I say that please don't make the same mistake that people made 4 years ago with Hillary Clinton. You're not going to be eating
right.
dinner with Kamala Harris. She's not coming over to your house. She's not being runner-up for your BFF. This is a very serious matter that will affect generations to come. And put your personal feelings aside from some of the issues that you may have had with policies or decisions she made, and make the most important decision is to remove 45 from office. Nothing trumps that, no pun intended.
I agree. And just to see some of these folks, man, I'm thinking okay, first and foremost, our whole mindset initially was to get 45 out of office, but now you still have, and you can respect people's decisions on who they want, in office to vote for and stuff like that. But of course, you have people who are on the fence now. They were, voting democratically. Now they're on the fence about, whether or not they are still going to support, Joe Biden because he selected, Kamala Harris. And so I just feel like you said, Jen, we got to get 45 up out of there, or we'll be in the same situation like how we did with Hillary. We'll be in the same predicament again, we do not need that to happen. And so I cannot take another 4 years of Donald Trump in office. I can't, man.
To be honest with you, I think more than just, the annoyance of him and, the things that he does and some of the things that he says, I think our democracy is in danger. I don't see, if he is elected, I think if our democracy survives another 4 years of him, I will be surprised. And even if it does survive, at the end of another 4 years, I think it will be so broken that it will be hard for America to move forward. America, with all of its, things that are wrong with it, is still one of the greatest experiments of democracy in world history. And I think that it will fail. The experiment will fail once Donald Trump is in office another 4 years. And I don't see it happening. You see where our country is divided. We're on the brink of these little race wars breaking out everywhere. And on the topic of today, did you see where in Atlanta, Georgia, we had armed protesters, attack each other on Stone Mountain? And I think that goes right into what we're talking about today and gun ownership and the importance of it. So, tell us a little bit about what we're going to talk about today and our guests.
So, if you all did not get a chance to check out our previous show, Black Gun Ownership Part 1, that aired on May 10th, you can definitely go back and check out that show. Great show. We had some great guests and great discussion on that show about the necessity of becoming a gun owner. Also, steps in which you should take in order to become one. Also, what type of guns in which a first-time gun owner should get. We had a great discussion about that. But today, we want to get a little bit deeper. So, we are officially the fastest rising gun owner demographic in the United States as of right now. So there was a report that was sent out last week about the rise in black gun ownership. And so between increased concerns about COVID-19, coupled with the deaths of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, black people, we're taking, our rights as gun ownership seriously. And so we are actually out there buying these guns. We're going to try to get, our gun license and things like that so we can protect ourselves and protect our families. So some of the things which we want to dig a little bit deeper into this particular topic today is, where are some of the safe places for us to go and train? Should we lean on our expertise of our black veterans and our black police officers? Also, too, how involved should black people be in the political aspects of the Second Amendment rights? What business opportunity does this present for us, such as black gun clubs, training academies, ranges, and actual manufacturing of guns? Will the image of black men and women with firearms ever be truly viewed equally with that of our white counterparts. So we definitely want to get into that discussion today. The phone lines are open. You can dial 516-387-1542. Press the number one on your phone and we'll definitely get to you if you have a question or a comment. But we definitely want to go ahead and get into this particular topic. We do have a potential guest that will be discussing this topic with us today. But we're going to go ahead and move a little bit forward with the topic of the day. So as far as black gun ownership, with the in relation to what we discussed last time about the importance of, you know, having a gun, making sure that you are trained properly, you know, the safety measures and places, you know, to possibly go and get one. You know, Jean, I know that you are a mother of two, you know, little boys. Like, what is your concern as far as being a mother? You know, have you had, you know, that thought or maybe that urge to actually go and get a gun yourself?
Yes, in fact, I have. I wanted to, before I went and got one, though, I wanted to educate myself a little bit, you know, on having a gun in my home, how to use it. And also, I want my children to be educated, you know, in my life, you know, I have coworkers who have children who are in gun clubs, shotgun tournaments. Teams, I didn't even know that, you know, until like maybe a year or two ago that that even existed.
Right.
And I definitely want my children to be educated on the safety of guns, gun ownership as well. But I am curious. I don't know where to start. Now, I see a lot of online classes now. I know you can look on Facebook, Instagram.
Right.
There are a lot of advertisements for, you know, conceal and carry classes. You know, have you taken one of those classes, Al? Like, what happens? Have you taken a gun safety class? You know, the difference.
So that is my next step. You know, my wife and I recently, you know, went and purchased our own, you know, firearm for our home. You know, I grew up in a home where, you know, my mother really necessarily did not, you know, care for guns in our home, so I really never just had that experience as a youth. Now, I was able to shoot guns, like, with my uncles and things like that, but as far as, you know, being educated as a youth all the way up to now, no. So this is my first experiment with actually having something of my own, and, you know, my wife and I, we definitely are eager to move forward with these steps in order for us to become comfortable with holding the gun, shooting the gun, and be, you know, safe in our home. Now, there are places up here where I live close by Memphis that actually have spots. But, you know, I want to feel, you know, comfortable with being able to go to a spot where I feel like, you know, the person who is there is, you know, open arms and welcoming and all of that, because I want to feel comfortable and not walk in and then the music stop. You get what I'm saying? Because of where, you know, I live. So,
yeah.
You know, so that's my thing. Like, but, you know, I've also have, you know, fraternity brothers and friends who have, I guess you would say, open areas within their own land in which they shoot at. So we have had talks about that. So I would say, you know, another avenue is, you know, search your friends, like, see where they go, see if they have particular spots in which, you know, you can actually go shoot and train. But I guess you just have to do your research, man. Like you said, joining these black gun owner clubs and, you know, asking these particular questions so you can form relationships with people to go to some of these places. So,
y'all,
one of my biggest
want
fears
is
not knowing the law. Like, I think that, like,
right.
how
Correct.
Educated do I have to be in the law, like, of carrying a gun? How do I be responsible? And how do I not find myself in a sticky situation where I may be breaking the law by owning a gun or carrying a gun? And I guess we lean to our experts to educate us about that and to know where to go.
What's up, everybody? I'm going to bring in... Yeah, we're going to bring in our special guests as well. We also have Kev and Nick in the studio with us. Nick, would you like to bring in our special guest?
Sure. our special guest today is the
owner of Hullum Firearm, Hullum Mobile Firearm Academy, and his name is Jeffrey Hullum. Do we have him on the line yet?
Yes, I'm here, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
Hey, I can't complain. Just sitting here going over some stuff.
Okay. So, just to provide a little bit of context, because we've actually spoken about another organization that Jeff has led before. If you guys have remembered, I've talked before about Extend a Hand, Help a Friend, who does a lot for the community down here. Jeff is also the CEO of Extend a Hand, Help a Friend, and he's now expanded into helping a lot of our people with the questions that Jen is asking, things about gun ownership, how to shoot, knowing the laws. And Jeff, I just wanted to know if you could just like talk to us a little bit about Hullum Mobile Firearm Academy and, you know, what it is that you're doing and what, as gun owners and potential gun owners, being black, that we need to look out for.
Okay, first I want to say I thank you all for allowing me to come on and share some of my experience and knowledge about firearms with you, especially firearm safety. But I'll get right into it. I created Hullum's Mobile Firearm Academy because of the state of Mississippi. We have a lot of injustice going on, and most of it is directed towards our African-American women. And everybody should be able to defend themselves at all costs. You know, and there's more to it than just getting a gun. You got to know how to execute that gun and make sure that gun safe in the home, around kids, around people who's not, you know, potentially, you know, embracing two firearms. So what I have done is taken my 22 years of combat experience out of the United States Army with 6 combat deployments, and I'm bringing it to my local community, but further to minority communities, you know, to help, but we'll train anybody. We educate everyone on the standard of the Mississippi law. In the state of Mississippi, Mississippi is a constitutional carry state, meaning you don't have to have a concealed weapon permit. As long as a person is not a felon in the state of Mississippi, you can conceal carry or you can open carry. That's great in the state of Mississippi for African American women, because during the holiday season, who is those most vulnerable targeted people? Those are the women that's out shopping, the older people. Typically, you expect a man to have, you know, a firearm on them at all times. That's just the nature of the beast. A man can protect himself. But for gun ownership, the women is outpacing the men when it's coming to buying and purchasing firearms. And for a woman, you got to make sure she purchases the right firearm. You know, it got to be something that fits comfortably in her hand, something that she can maneuver, something that she's not afraid of, and something that can be sealed in a clutch or purse or in their waistband when they're working out, you know. And the caliber of the gun was what the woman should be mostly concerned about. She shouldn't get a gun because it's cute, pink, purple, green. No, she should get a firearm that's conducive to stopping and reducing the threat and helping her defend her family herself. And for as a male at the same time, a male should not get a gun just because it's the name of the gun. It should be one that he should be able to operate and manipulate to do what he needs to do, which is protecting his family. So my thing is, firearm safety as a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. They have always tried to hinder African Americans from buying firearms or purchasing firearms. Because one thing a firearm does, a firearm, you know, it levels the playing field. You know, it's best to have a firearm and not use it than need it and not have it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I went on to a litany of things, so there's something particular that y'all want me to touch on.
Yeah, so I have a question, Mr. Hullum. So, in searching for a place to go and get trained, you know, where you will feel welcome, like what type of places, or how would someone go and search for a gun club for them or a gun training camp for them that in which they feel comfortable being invited to?
And that's the thing. I'm glad you asked that question, because what I found out in getting my insurance down here, there's no African-American firearm instructor, singular, that's training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, Nick, we have to wait till next week till we start training, because we had to get the insurance out of Alabama, you know, and we have a firearm range.
Wow.
That's any local, you call your city, call any local firearm. Like for us, we have to go to Pass Christine. That's where we do most of the training. But the people who does the training there, the price is so expensive. You know, we already have, like, a family going trying to feed their family. But to go train at $50 an hour, that's ludicrous. You know what I'm saying? When you pay for the bullets, when you pay for the time on the range, you pay for iPro. You know, so we came with a thing of, if you want to train in the afternoon, just basic training, I will teach you how to fire that weapon, how to break that weapon down, how to manipulate that weapon. But when it comes to the going to get your enhanced carry, we all class is $85 for a female, $100 for a male, and 20% discount each participant. Reason being, because I'm military trained. The NRA standards is $150 a person. You know, and that's the big thing. Some people, you know, we've been doing this for like 2 weeks now. We haven't charged anyone because we're at the stating point right now, which minorities have to be able to defend themselves. All people have to defend themselves, but minorities more than ever, you know, because we have so many people attacking our women, attacking our teenagers, and they should be able to defend themselves, you know. So what I tell you, you can reach out to the police station because the police department trains people as well. Local police academy, they don't tell people. At least they don't share that openly in other states that I done lived in. But in Gulfport, you know, they put it out every now and then. But if you're not on the city website, you will never see it. But they offer training, too. I'm listening, sir.
Right. So I also have another question with that. So how are you guys or what? How would you recommend a person to get involved who may have a fear of being around guns, who may necessarily, you know, possibly need one due to where they stay, due to, you know, family recommendations? How do you get those people aligned with wanting to get a gun and actually get the training they need?
Okay, great. And I can tell by that voice, that's my buddy Rob. That's Rob answered that question. So what I would tell you is this. The best thing, we had a woman last week we took. She was afraid of firearms. Her family member was a victim of gun violence, so she used fears of firearms. What we did, we brought her to the range, and I was training another female, and I had her to stand on the side of with the earplugs on. And I said, okay, this gun, as long as you don't pull the trigger, this gun will never go off. This gun, you go over the five basic fundamentals of firearm safety. And then you let her see someone else who's afraid of firearms, fire a firearm. And then you take it and you say, okay, let's do this one for me. I want you to fire this firearm one time. Before you fire that firearm, I'm going to put this in your mind. You're at the mall. It's holiday season. Somebody approaching you at your car. You got to defend your family. Are you going to let your fear stop you from protecting your family? Or are you going to let your fear let them kill you like fight or flight? And you train them from up close. And then one of the females, once she started got comfortable, I stood outside and I fired a weapon right on side of her while she was firing her weapon, but from a safe distance. Mm-hmm. And I said, did that bother you? She said, no. I said, that's just how it is. Because 9 times out of 10, when a person breaks into your home, they're going to be within 3 to 5 feet. So you're going to be able to get the shot off on them before they get the shot of you because you got the element of surprise. When a person can approach you or attacking you at the mall, they coming out their firearm out. Most times they coming to grab and then they pull their firearm. As long as you pull your firearm out, they'll be ready. Perfect. Like yesterday, I got a call. I'm so pleased with a woman killed in her backyard. And a gentleman was coming through the woodline area, and she was able to pull her firearm out, and she yelled at him, told him to stop. The man took another few steps, and what she did, she took one step forward, a move step forward, and she did a hand step to the left, and she said, I will fire. And the man turned around and shot off. Now, just think if she wouldn't have that weapon. And this is a person who didn't want to have a weapon nowhere around the house because she got young boys.
Mm.
But she called the family that.
Right.
That told her about the holiday thing. Then the mental block allowed her to somewhat defend out a would-be assailant or aggressor. You know, so you have to make the best way to get them to do is not talk to them. It's put them on the range because it ain't the gun that they're afraid of most time. Most time it's the sound of that weapon going off, you know. All they're thinking about, oh, this person got killed with a gun, so the gun just accidentally went off. No gun naturally accidentally goes off. As long as you don't chamber around, as long as you don't put no thing on the trigger, you can throw a gun against the wall, that gun scientifically cannot fire. So if you teach them the basics a firearm safety. The basics of when you pull that firearm, you got to be willing to kill what you're aiming at. You also got to be mindful of what's behind what you're aiming at. Never put your finger in that firearm trigger well until you're ready to fire that weapon. And then you got to think, safety first. Everybody is best to educate your kids early about the importance of firearm. This is not TV. You don't get a do-over. You know what I'm saying? A firearm is real. Because a lot of kids these days are not afraid of firearms because of what they see on TV. But they not know
that's
TV
right.
is notional. It's not realistic. You know what I'm saying? So if you teach them and show them the effects and the advantages of a firearm, they'll have more respect for a firearm. You know?
I agree.
And that leads into my question is, what's a good age to start? Like, I have two young sons. I think they're a little young. They're 2 and 8, so especially a two-year-old. But what age should I start introducing them into gun education? What do you recommend?
My thing when it comes to gun education, I think you should start as early as 5 years old. And when I say 5 years old, you go through baby steps. You let them see, because a kid are very smart, and the average five-year-old today has got the mindset of a 10-year-old from yesterday. So you let them see this is nothing to play with. If you see this, come tell mommy. If you see this, come tell daddy. You stay away from them. You start yelling. You know what I'm saying? And as they get older, you start experiencing more and more, because you can come down here to Mississippi and go to Academy Sports. You can go to Dad's Pawn Shop. You can go to High Caliber. You have them Caucasian kids in there at 10 years old. They buying 22 rifles for them. They bring them up early. Most people think it's for hunting. Yes, for hunting, but also who knows what they train them kids when they're out there in the woodline. So we have to start teaching our kids at an early age. Start thinking about the youngest thing when you look on the news, the youngest age of kids shooting themselves with their parents' firearms, plundering in their parents' purse, you know, plundering in a car, plundering things. They have people as young as 5, 6 years old accidentally shooting themselves with a firearm because the parent had a loaded firearm in the house, you know. So what I tell you, 5, you can introduce it to them, but really at 7, 8 years old, when a kid really knows, you know, if they play a video game, they should know what a firearm is. That's the simplest way I can say it.
How you doing, Mr. Hollum? This is Kevin. I got a question for you. I know Dan was talking about the young kids and, you know, having firearms around the house. For safety rights or safety concerns, what do you think, what would you recommend for means to keep the gun secure from the kids, just in case they do have that curiosity beyond you explaining it to them and telling them about it? Do you recommend any safes or anything of that nature, like any cables, or what do you say?
Yeah. I would recommend, first things first, if you have kids in the home, never, never, never have a loaded firearm. Always have the magazine separate from the weapon. All right, just like in the state of Alabama, you got to have a firearm in the front and the magazine in, excuse me, in the trunk. So in the house, you need to get a lockbox. You can go to Walmart, Academy, any sporting goods store. You can get a lockbox or a money box. And get, you want a key. A key combination safes are good, but kids know how to manipulate combination safes to a certain degree. So get a lockbox. Also, if you get the cable that comes with the firearm, you run the cable through the magazine well and lock it. That weapon cannot be fired. You can't even get a bullet in there. Can't get your hand in there. You know, when it comes to a shotgun, the best thing for home defense is a shotgun. That's the best thing for home defense. And the reason why I say the best for home defense, because 9 times out of 10, it's only 2 things you're going to protect. You're going to protect your home, and you're going to protect your vehicle. That's just like in a concealed carry with a handgun. But for your shotgun, you can have a safe. Like me, I have several guns. And all my guns, I got either a cable lock on them, or I have some type of tubing. You got tubing that you can put down in there to make sure the rounds can't be chambered or the weapon can't be fired. But like I said again, the best thing for if you got kids at home is get a lockbox. They sell the lockbox. You can get one at Walmart. You can get them at Academy. Any sporting goods stores can sell them. Or even if you got one of the money bags, you can put in a money bag and put a lock on it. You know. And if you got kids in the home, never keep your firearm under the bed. Never keep it in the trestle drawer, because typically that's where a kid's gonna go to. You know what I'm saying?
Search. That's
depending
right.
on age of it. That's funny.
How do you feel about biometric boxes, the ones that, you know, you have to use your thumbs and fingers to open it up? How do you feel about those?
I think that's a sticky situation. That'll be good if you're a single person. But if you're a married couple or you're a couple and just think of your spouse or your significant other had to get in there when you're not there and they can't get in it, that'll be bad. They ain't able to defend themselves. You know, and just think another thing, them enhanced security features is great and wonderful for technology, but think about this. Once you get nervous and something happens, no matter who you are, you're going to get nervous when fear stands upon you. Are you going to be able to look in that and remember all the steps compared to you going into a draw, pulling your firearm, moving the pin out, and doing what you need to do to negotiate that target? So that's going to be an individual effort. I wouldn't do it. And I love guns. I go out to shoot at least 3 times a week just for the fun of it. But I would never do that because what happens if, let's say, somebody's robbing you and they knock you in the eye? It's going to lean up, you know?
Okay. Yeah, because I know some of the ones that I've seen, I know that you can have multiple people on it. The newer mm-hmm. ones that I've seen, you know, you can have multiple, like how you have the biometrics on your phone. But so you're saying it's kind of, I understand, like you said, the fight or flight syndrome. Have you ever encountered a situation like that where you had to kind of get your firearm out in the haste? And you know, what are some good tactics to practice with that if you have to get it out in the haste and the situation get a little sticky?
Well, I'll tell you, since I've been a civilian, retired, I have not had to pull my firearm on nobody since I've been back in Mississippi. But in the military, like I say, 6 deployments, I have utilized my weapon in combat several times. And I'm glad I had that training because when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, I had an incident at the gas station. And the guy was coming up asking for change. I had no problem giving the man change. But I also knew that they had this thing called a slider where people go in one, you pump gas on one side, they slide in your car from the other side. But me, I carry mm-hmm. concealed. So the guy went from asking for change to start reaching. And when he started reaching, everything for me just like went like slowed down. I took my step back, I pulled my firearm, put my one hand up, say, hey, stop. Because I don't want to kill no African American if I don't have to. Somebody else,
right.
Hey, I might just don't do what I got to do. At least I was saying, hey, stop. You know what I'm saying? Hey, and the dude, when he started at 45, he just back and said, man, I apologize. All right, man, go on about your business. I ain't with that. I ain't from here. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Because you never know how you're going to react. You can practice all day, but you never know how you're
right.
going to react until you're in that situation. But one thing I'll tell you, if you pull your firearm, be prepared to use that firearm. If you shoot a person,
be
always
shoot
twice. You got to shoot them twice. And for anybody on this call, remember, people want to be precision shooters. Like, they want to be able to hit you 3 times in the chest, 3 times in the heart. When you're training a first-time firearm or you're training a female, you need to teach them how to shoot from 2 to 7. 2 is the chest, 7 is the stomach. You hit anybody 2 times in one of those spots, they're going to stop. So all this, I'm going to precision shoot, I want to shoot and get the score, the shot group, all that. You don't need all that. You know, that stuff is, even military fans finish shooting 3 times in the same spot, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's true.
When you come, I'm listening.
One thing I know you were saying as far as the tactic with shooting and how to shoot, and I know earlier I just got in the studio with the guys, but I was listening to the part where you were saying, you know, the type of gun that you would need and choosing the right gun. Does that play a big factor in your aim as far as where you need to shoot someone? Because if somebody go buy a judge opposed to maybe a 9, they need to know what they buy. Like you said, don't buy it by the name, but know what gun fits you. But is that a situation where you have to worry about that aim where you, like you said, 2 up,
yeah.
2 down, or 2 up, 7 down? So is that
no,
a factor?
No, because I'm going to tell you. When you fire a judge, that bullet on that judge and the recoil on that judge, no matter which judge you get, that recoil is going to snap your wrist all the way back.
So that means you can be point blank on them. And when you fire that judge is going to automatically kick up. It's automatically going to kick up. That's going to change the trajectory of the bullet. As far as the nine, a nine don't have that much recoil on it. You know what I'm saying? So you can take different angles or different shots where you're going to take it. If you hit a person with a judge, you only got to hit them one time. You hit a person with a nine, depending on where you hit them, you're going to have to hit them at least two times to stop them. And depending on who that assailant is, remember, a lot of people in big cities, they wear protective vests. Common everyday people walk around bulletproof vests on in major cities. You know? So that tells you exactly how many times you got to shoot. I'm just of the opponent of have to fire my weapon in combat, shot the person twice. You know, and that just stuck with me. So that's everything I do is, hey, two times, tap, tap, you know. Now, even if you're in a regular shootout in your community, Lord forbid you have to, you never just let off a whole 30-round clip, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, then shoot five times, then 1, 2, 3, you know, because you got to control your aim and control your trigger squeeze and control your burst. That's why we have so many innocent people getting shot in our communities, because so many people got guns and they are not trained on how to use that gun.
So how much time would you say a person would need to have that, to learn that discipline? You know, I mean, like you said, you training on, like, even with, I know you said women, but a lot of dudes, I just recently seen a video, and I know Nick and Al and Jen probably seen it, young man at the shooting range with an AR, he's shooting in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner came over like, hey, man, what are you doing? So how much training and how much time do you think we need to take with that?
I'll tell you, when it comes to weapon training, it's something that you got to continue to practice. And when you start dealing with AR, a lot of people, a lot of these young people, and some older people are buying ARs and not putting no type of sights on them. Because if you don't got a sight on it, it's hard for you to tell where that round going. So some of them people, they think they shooting low, but that bullet going straight up like it's going straight up to the ceiling. Or the third type of AR is automatically going, when you start trying to do bursts, rapid fire, anything, the weapon that's going to manipulate itself, it's going to go up if you don't know how to control it. But I tell a person, NRA standards, you got to shoot it 50 rounds to get familiar with a weapon. But to get a person adjusted to the weapon, they need to be training for months on end. Why do you think one of the most things the military spend their time on training is weapons training? We do a lot of dry firing before we do a lot of live firing. And you're going to do dry firing.
Could you explain dry firing?
You're going to do dry firing
that?
For 4 hours before you even touch the weapon.
Right. Can you explain dry firing for our listeners that may not know that terminology?
Yeah. Apologize for that. Dry firing is when you just take the weapon, you take the magazine, take all the bullets out the magazine, and you take turns putting the magazine in there, selecting your target, getting a good sight picture. Sight picture is looking at what you want to shoot at, whether that be the chest, whether that be the center mass of the forehead, whether that be center mass of the chest, or whether that be center mass of the stomach. You get a good sight picture. You look at it, you close your eyes, open your eyes up. The back of the sight post with the two dots on any weapon, then you got the front sight post. That front sight post should be lining with the rear sight post. And then you squeeze the trigger. That's called dry firing. You do that several times. Then you go over the safety features of the weapon, making sure it's on safe, taking it off safe, putting the magazine in, taking the magazine out. You know what I'm saying? That's what we call dry firing. Firing a weapon with no round actually in it.
Okay. I hope y'all get some great information out there today.
I'm listening.
Now, I was just letting our listeners know that the phone lines are open. Yeah, the phone lines are open. If y'all have any questions for our guest today, you can dial 516-387-1542. Press that number one. We'll be glad to bring you in. I see we do got a lot of people listening online right now. Y'all go ahead and call in because you know you want to know about these guns. You want to be able to shoot shoot properly.
So, you know, and this is the question for the group. So, you know, last week there was an article that was posted about the rise in black gun ownership. So, like my next question, which I would like to ask the group is, you know, how involved should we be as far as black people with the political aspect of the Second Amendment rights? Because I'm pretty sure that, you know, we all see things that,
you know, that may occur with our government when you know, black people become, you know, I guess you would say once we move up the ladder a little bit, there's always an obstacle or there's always something thrown at us. So how much involved should we be with the Second Amendment's right aspect as of right now? This is for anybody.
Okay, I have an opinion on that. Can I get my opinion on that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, my opinion is we should be very involved. Very involved because a lot of people want to say we shouldn't have high-capacity magazines, we shouldn't have bus stops, we have all these different things. Okay, when you give the government an inch, they're going to take a mile. Okay, so in saying that, the NRA, it's only been one time in the history of the NRA have they ever supported weapons bans or controlling weapons. And y'all know what that was?
Yep.
That was when the Black Panther Party stood up for themselves and protected the community.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's right now, with that, excuse my language, with the not effing around crew, you know, they had an accidental discharge. Three people were shot. They made a big deal about that. But how, you know how many times these militias have accidental discharge and shoot people when they're out there training or they call themselves preparing for a race war? You know what I'm saying?
All
so you never hear the NRA come up to say, or you never hear people talk about we need gun control, gun control. Gun control is to reduce the protection and the comfort and safety ability of the African-American community. You know what I'm saying?
We got
to stand up for the Second Amendment because that's the only thing that gives us rights to protect the playing field. You know what I'm saying? Because think about this. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to get off my soapbox. If we had weapons, back in the days, our ancestors had more weapons than what they needed. And they weren't controlled by the Jim Crow laws or the old black code laws. A lot of things that happened wouldn't have happened because they would have been able to defend themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I surely agree. Now, you ain't on your soapbox, brother. As far as even just dealing with the NFA, I think they need to brand themselves properly. I have no problem with the name, but I know one thing with the image of them being out and about, they're going to have to be tight. You know, they're going to have to make sure that they present themselves in a manner in which, you know, other people will be welcoming to come and join them, because I think what they're talking, some of the philosophies as far as the training aspect, somewhat of what we're talking about today, I think it would be a great thing if they had, just like with NAGA, we need to get more gun training around the country, especially for our women, for our young men and our young girls. And I know we need to do that. Are you familiar with NAGA?
The National African American Gun Association.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them, and they're huge in Atlanta. They're real huge.
Mm-hmm.
And reading that article is one of the reasons I started the firearms here in Gulfport. You know what I'm saying? Because we have a lot of people with guns. Do they know how to use the gun? Do they know what it takes to get qualified? Because in Mississippi, right, you don't even have to have firearms safety to go get a concealed weapon card.
Right.
All you have to do is not being a felon, go down to the DMV, fill out the paper. They will give you a basic firearm concealed carry. And you can legally carry it around from different states. I say it's good if you're going to different states. If you stay in Mississippi, really, don't need it because we can constitutionally carry, conceal, or open carry in the state. But with that enhanced carry, guess what? You can go in anywhere with the exception of a police station, a sheriff department, or the courthouse. So you got that additional protection to make yourself feel safe. And at the end of the day, you can stop some other person from getting harmed because you are licensed to carry that firearm. So it's the best question you have to answer to somebody who don't have that.
Right. I agree.
My question is that, you know, a lot of us see these videos, especially these racially charged videos. We look at, you know, these blogs, we look at these videos, and we immediately say, I wish I had a gun. And if this happened to me, I'm going to pull that gun and I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. I think that's a very dangerous thing for our people, you know, without the education And to what would you say to people who think that they can just go pull their weapon if they find themselves in one of these racially charged situations, because they might find themselves in prison for the rest of their life on shooting someone?
That's right.
What do we say to these people on that topic?
And one thing I say, be familiar with the laws. And I trained a young lady last week, and I explained that on that video I did with them, telling her, anytime you find yourself in the heat of an argument, that's not the time to go get a gun. Make sure the gun is always locked up. You know, if you got road rage, it's best for you to just keep on driving and not fire back. You know what I'm saying?
A gun. So I can't carry my gun while I'm driving.
To say, hey, I'm Superman for a day. If you feel like that, you shouldn't even have a gun. You shouldn't possess a gun. You know, and these racially charged videos. The racially charged videos is a narrative to try to intimidate African Americans. That's mostly what they're for, you know. So we have to do a thing called consideration of others and de-escalation, and that's where gun safety come in at. And you talked about the five important aspects of owning a firearm, what you should or should not do when you have a firearm. Because most people ask this question all the day. Why do military carry weapons every day, and they some of the least ones that have negligent discharge? They're some of the least ones to get into an altercation with a firearm, because we respect firearms. We know what a firearm will do. A firearm is used for three purposes: to feed your family in the form of hunting, for recreational sports shooting, or to use it as an instrument or a tool of war, to project one's country dominance over another. Those are the only three. And when you understand that helps you understand, okay, I got this, so I'm not at war. And I'm feeding my family, or I'm protecting my family. So just like I get in a heated argument with Nick, is Nick threatening my family? Nick not threatening my family. I don't need no firearm. You know what I'm saying? And like, I carry two firearms every day on me. At all time, I got two guns on me all the time. Sometimes I forget I even got them on me. Unless I'm going into the courthouse, and then I realize I got to take them off. You know, but every day I have two guns, and that's because for my protection. God spared me in Afghanistan, on the streets of Afghanistan and Iraq, and I'd be damned if I'm going to die on the streets of Mississippi because I'm fighting a flag or a monument. That's just the bottom line, you know.
Yeah.
So I say everybody's different.
I got now one thing I heard you just speak about de-escalation. Could you give our listeners one tactic that they can use in any situation? Because I know I was just joking about me riding around with my gun in my car in road rage, because out here in Georgia, you're going to cuss somebody out every 5 minutes, depending on where you're driving at, period. But the thing is, what is a good tactic in your training that you can tell our listeners right now about de-escalation?
The best thing is, in the heat of the moment, take a brief pause. And say, sometimes you just gotta say, man, are you serious right now? And when you say, are you serious right now? Yes, you're asking them that question, but you're also giving your mind time to think of what you're doing. And the reason I say that, because I'm dealing with a situation right now that happened last night down here in Gulfport, where a young man had an altercation with his child's mother. And a young man went to the people's house and ended up discharging a firearm. You know, and when they called me to go help the young man turn himself in so the police wouldn't do nothing to him, he said, man, I wish I would have not thought it. I would just had a couple more seconds. I wish I'd do that. It's too late. Once you pull that trigger, it's too late. All these things you talk about now, you should have thought about that then. So you got to take a pause. When you find yourself getting really mad, it's best to walk away. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's best to live another day than to go on and carry out what you're going to do. Because once you take someone else's life or offer someone life, your life will be altered as well. Even if you're in the right, you will have to live and sleep with it. You know, that's going to be on your mind.
I like that.
So like I said, the best thing is to try to take a breath or be like, man, are you serious right now? Do you really want to do this? And when you're saying that, it's kind of sarcastic, but you're giving yourself time to think.
I like that. I think, like you said, give you a second and kind of sit back and kind of reflect on your actions for that moment, because I know, and everybody in here know, if you get on that highway and you see somebody cut you off or somebody acting real stupid, you ain't going to be in your right mind for that moment. You might say, I'll be okay, but that is a good moment and a good time to reflect on it by asking yourself that, are you serious right now? I like that. Great show,
because
y'all.
Think about this. But think about, I'm going to just say this, like, one thing we have to do, we got to preserve life. Because if we allow them to kill us off, or we kill all them off, there's nobody going to be on and be on earth for our children, grandchildren, and keep life going. We have to start appreciating life, you know. And we don't appreciate life, things happen. But I tell you with this, firearms are important. Firearms are needed. Firearms does not constitute the end, ways, and means. What a firearm does, a firearm levels the playing field and keeps you and your family and the stuff you work hard for in a better position. And that's what I got to say about that.
Man, we definitely appreciate you, Mr. Hullum. Great information that you gave our listeners and ourselves today. We definitely want you to can you put your information out there again about your program, your training course? And if someone wanted to join your training course, how would they get in contact with you?
Yes, we have Hullum's Mobile Firearm Training Academy. And another thing real quick, well, I'm going to say, well, we made it a mobile firearm because I want to be able to train anybody in the state of Mississippi. North Mississippi needs help. So I want to be able to go up there and train them. And the reason we got it, and I'm holding off on giving full classes the next week, because I want the insurance. So if I go to Jackson, if I go to Starkville or any small town in Mississippi, I'm going to come to their community. I'm going to train them. We're going to go to a local range, or if they own acreage, we'll go out there and teach them how to shoot. When we leave, get them their certificate, they take it to the DMV, and they're a concealed license carrier. Or they've just been trained how to manipulate their weapon and keep themselves safe and their family safe, you know. So if a person want to contact me, if a person want to contact me, you know, I give them my cell number, which is 228-383-4989, you know, or they can hit me up on Facebook at Jeffrey Hullum III on Facebook, you know, and that's how, like, I'm a simple person. I'm real simple, easy going, and if a person needs training, I'll train them, won't even charge them, you know what I'm saying, because it ain't about the money with me. It's all about making sure all people are trained, educated, and certified, because we got to protect ourselves, you know, and that's how it is.
And Mr. Hullum, could you say that number slow one more time for our listeners that may have to scramble and get a pen just in case they want to get in contact with you?
Yes, 228. It's 228-383-4989.
All right. Now, if you need to contact the North Mississippi, we'll get with Nick Eaton. And we got somebody in North Mississippi if you want to spread your wings in Northeast Mississippi, the Columbus, Starkville area. So we definitely know one person. We're not necessarily one person. We know a person that know people. I would love to connect you two together, because I think that would be a great thing for the surrounding areas, for our people to be able to get out, get the proper training,
that.
And have the proper things to be able to conceal that weapon and be properly trained. So we definitely
correct.
Need to reach out to you about that. And shouts out to our man, Doe Belly Scream. Y'all know who I'm talking about. So, yes, we would love to make sure we link y'all up. But, Mr. Hullum, we do appreciate you for your time today. This informative
and
show,
service,
I was listening
brother.
While I wasn't in. But, yeah, thank you for your service, too. And thank Nick Eaton for bringing you on. We do appreciate
yes,
you. Welcome
you. A huge asset to our community.
Yes, sir.
We sure appreciate it.
Yes, all right. Thank you all.
All right.
All right. Appreciate
hey.
It.
Okay.
Man, a lot of information,
man. Whole lot of information, man. Appreciate Nick for bringing them on. I got in a little late today, so I missed the whole talk about Miss Harris. So I'm going to leave.
We ain't doing it.
Let's
talk about something else, man.
We got to have a full seat. We got to have everybody here to talk about it.
Yeah, y'all
know
what I ain't like that.
Yeah, I'm listening while I'm riding now. Don't think I didn't hear y'all.
You know what? You know what? We may need to save this for the Patreon, bro.
All right, we can do that.
So if you want to get in on this, but if you want to hear this conversation that we was having about Kamala Harris, you know, potential future vice president Kamala Harris, we will possibly have something on our Patreon about that, man. I definitely want to hear some more from Kevin.
I can't wait. Well, just wait. Yeah. We're going to need y'all on that. Yeah. Gucci man, yeah. All right, man. Great show. Great information. Matter of fact, we got this anniversary show still coming up, too. I know Nick normally has a black podcast, like he normally say, you can't get this nowhere. Not CNN, not Fox, no other media outlet. Make sure you support black media.
That's right.
Anywhere you see it, anywhere you hear it, make sure you tune into it and be a part of it. I hate to do this part because I never do it as smooth as y'all do stuff. So I just want to put that out there, so in case he wasn't able to say it.
Well, look, man, we're a black podcast, and we definitely appreciate all our listeners and viewers. Make sure that you share our shows, man. Definitely this show. Definitely share this show. Part one to this particular topic was May 10th, so if you definitely want to go back and listen to that show, just scroll back through our Middleman Talk Show feed on any podcast app, and you can check out Black Gun Ownership, part one. Great discussion on that particular topic as well, too. And part two, man, just added more to it. Like, you know, I'm definitely going to go and take, you know, some more training because my wife and I definitely want to become more experienced, more comfortable, you know, with that. So,
One question, I appreciate the information. One question I really hate we could not ask. I wanted to ask him, what he really thought about 25s. I know a lot of people love to talk bad about 22s and 25s. But I'm going to tell you like this. They can kill you too.
So, I mean, yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with them. It's a great starter gun.
My question that I wanted to ask was, you know, what scares me. Excuse the background. What scares me is like what's his name? Castro. Was it the guy
Fidel?
That was sitting in? Yeah.
Oh,
Fidel.
Yes,
and he informed the officer that he had a concealed and carry license and he had a weapon in the car, and yet he was
Philando.
And that scares me about gun ownership.
That was a scared cop on a bad day. Yeah, that's real, Jimmy.
But you don't know. So if I'm a gun owner, I don't know who is approaching me, and me doing the lawful thing and informing someone, hey, I have this weapon legally. Hey,
right.
I have this.
Right.
I could still be killed. And I think that is a lot of people, especially people of color's apprehension with owning weapons.
That is correct.
Because of the stigma and the fear that comes with African Americans owning weapons. And I think that's what scares me. And I don't want to be killed because you don't know if it's a scared cop or good cop or whomever's coming to your door. And you could be killed by it.
I agree, man.
That is a concern. That's definitely a concern. I think we got one caller before we go ahead and shut everything down. Caller from Skype. You live with the Middleman. What's your question or comment?
Hey, how you doing? This is the Universe Galaxy from YouTube. I actually have a popular page. How are you guys?
Hey, what's going on?
All right, how are you?
Hey, you're doing good. Now, I know your program is about to close down, but it's probably not enough time. I just found your program randomly, and I was just wondering, do you take phone calls for all topics, or is it only staying on topic?
Well, if it's in relation to the topic of discussion that we're having for today, we definitely talk about various groups of topics on, you know, our show, but each show that we do is particularly related to the topic that we're discussing for today. So, we definitely appreciate you calling in, and check us out next Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Before you go, I'd like to have you guys on as a guest on my program. You don't have to, obviously. Would you guys be interested in the future to come on my program then?
Sure. Can you send us an email with your information?
Sure, I'll just give it to you real quick. I know you have to wrap it up. So my email is water water@galaxyhit.com. Again, water@galaxyhit.com. Just in case the connection is bad, I know I don't want you guys to miss it. water@galaxyhit.com. One more time, water@galaxyhit.com.
Gotcha, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate
that's
you.
Very nice of you to take to spend time on this.
All right.
Stay safe. You're welcome. Thank you. Later.
You too. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. So next Sunday, we have a great show for you guys that's listening out there. Make sure you tune in to the Middleman Talk Show. I don't have my calendar pulled up. Do we have that next topic on? You got your calendar pulled up there, Al?
I do not. My apologies, man. And I should know it.
No, it's
anyway,
all good.
It's going to be a great topic. It's going to be fun.
Great show. Yes. Anyway. That's positive. But, hey, let's go ahead and close everything down. I want to give a shout-out to Darrell and all the people out there that's listening, Grind Entertainment, and all the other people that's listening right now. Shouts out to all of our veterans, all of our military people out there. So we want to show love to y'all and tune in next Sunday.
Yeah,
like
shout out to
go ahead and tell.
Shout out to Cotton King, also Lord Faded Ideas, also Miss One. We appreciate y'all.
Most definitely, and we have.